Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long from the Associated Press, Pat Tony, Warren Brooks here with you, Jaguars, today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Glad you're with us. I was hearkening back to certainly better days in Jaguar football. Morton Anderson's miss, probably the single biggest play still in the history of Jacksonville Jaguar football. Mark Long, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you? Who's on the call going, oh, my God, oh, my God, and then, oh, my gosh, he changes it to gosh on the third time.
That would be, his name just went out of Matt. Went out of the, come on, Matt Robinson, right? Wasn't that Matt Robinson?
Yes. No, it's pre-Mark Long time. Okay.
Yes, pre-Mark Long time.
Yeah, okay.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Besieged?
I've been beat up a little bit this week, but I'm all right. I'm hanging in
there.
You
feel it was deserved?
Listen, they let me in the gate today. They let me through the door.
Which is nice.
Know? Yeah.
People
said hello to me.
You don't work for the Jaguars. You're an objective journalist.
I am.
You report on the happenings around this place.
I call it like I see it.
Jaguar football, both game week, week of game, off season,
good,
day
bad,
of game.
Good, bad, indifferent. I call it like I see it.
You just, you point things out. Did you take a lot of heat? I know the answer to this, but tell us how much heat you took.
I took a lot of heat.
You tweeted out a picture of the stands early third quarter, right? Right after halftime?
First, literally like after the opening kickoff of the third quarter.
It was a pretty desolate scene.
It was abysmal. The actual scene with the number of people in the stands was nothing like I've ever seen before.
This is right after the waiter brought you your hot toddy in the press box.
I was eating cookies and
warming your hands by the fire.
Yeah. I had just gotten rid of the massage girl. I just stopped by my seat.
She had just finished
yeah,
up?
Yeah, she had just finished up.
So you're
on my back.
I'm
ready to go for the second half. I had gotten my hot, they give you the hot towel at halftime. They bring you get your choice of whatever dessert you want.
Yes.
I had a drink, and then...
And if they don't have it, they'll make it special.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely will make it. I just, got done visiting with the cheerleaders come up for halftime too.
Of course.
I don't know if you know that. Then they go back down. And, so I just got done visiting with my favorite cheerleader and, getting my back massage and then got the hot towel on my face, was doing well. And then I look up at the stands and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that?
Where does everyone go? Are they all getting their massage as well?
I knew better than that. I knew I was special. So, I tweet the photo and, it kind of took off.
And, well, the accompanying message was what? I don't have it up in front
of me. The message said picture of stands for start of second half, Jags. And I said, I know it's raining, but come on.
Yes.
Just like that.
And your come on indicated what?
This is ridiculous. Get in your seat. Support your team. Suck it up. How about that? Suck it up.
Suck it up.
I know it's 50 degrees and raining.
Tom McManus, you owe him a nickel now, okay?
I know it's 50 degrees and raining, and no one was prepared for this, but suck it up.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody's prepared for it.
Well,
and it's 50 degrees, and it's raining, and it's windy, and it's cold. I know. What does that mean?
In December. It's Jacksonville in December.
Okay.
It's always, the temperature fluctuates all the time.
You can't win with that tweeting strategy of yours, I don't think. I'm not saying you were trying to win.
Listen, this fan
base.
This fan base has been beat up, abused, drugged through the mud.
Case in point.
Ran over by the bus. Backed up over the bus. I get it. This fan base has been abused. They've been abused by bad football for a number of years.
Yes.
Bad ownership, bad general managers, bad head coaches,
bad
quarterback
record
play,
again this year.
Bad record. I get all of that and bad publicity. I mean, NFL commissioner Roger Goodell made him the poster child of blackouts. He talked to him, he said repeatedly that, this cannot be a sustainable franchise with the ticket sales where they were. And again, I get all that abuse. They've listened to LA. They've listened to London. They've listened to Timbuktu. They're moving. Okay. I get all of that. For 10 years, they've been moving. And I get it. And they fought that and they've done an unbelievable job. Given the crap record and the crap play, they've done an unbelievable job supporting this franchise. No doubt. No one is questioning that, least of all me. I know it. I've seen it. But all I'm saying was in that snapshot, that right there, that picture that I tweeted, and I'm not the only one who tweeted that picture, but that picture is the problem. They gotta have it in the back of their minds that they are always fighting perception and leaving at halftime or staying in the club or heading to the Bud Zone, whatever it is, you've got to at least think that the ramification of this on a widespread scale is going
to
be
perception. You really think that you need to sit there? If you're a family with a couple of kids, you need to say, well, I'm going to keep my kids here in the cold rain because it's going to look bad if I leave.
I don't, but I think that I don't think that that kind of thinking would necessarily can't hurt. I'm just saying that people need to be in this scenario, given everything here. I think people need to be aware of what it's going to look like.
All right, other than the perception. There's a serious question. Other than the perception, and look, there you could point out
perception teams, is everything.
Well, I'm asking you though. Other than just so what? So what if some guy in Poughkeepsie thinks that the Jags have a terrible fan base? Okay, there's no real impact of that. Now, my point is, other than perception, is there really a negative consequence to come? Do you think it's more like, does it, you know, destabilize the franchise security or something like
no,
that?
No, it does nothing. It does nothing.
But who cares?
But I don't think Shad Khan cares, and I don't think Dave Caldwell cares, and I don't think Gus Bradley cares, but I think the fans care. I think the people, Jags Twitter cares. They care about perception. They really, listen, this is a little bit of a fragile, when you've been told you're moving for 10 years, at least 10 years now, you've been talked about as relocating, you've been talked about, you know, London and LA and wherever, you've been the face of blackouts, you've been the face of relocation, you've been the face of all of that, perception matters.
It matters to some.
It probably matters. I don't know that Mark Lamping or Shad Khan will admit it, but I'll bet it matters a little bit.
Well, nobody's going to be happy to see the stadium that empty at any point, especially when you're winning the football game.
And you've fought so hard for so long to counter all of those thoughts and those, you know, criticisms of the fan base. That's why, to me, it was just a little bit of a, I felt like it was a little bit of a shame to see it that empty.
I agree with you that if you care about perception, and I'm not saying that everyone doesn't care about perception, there are plenty of people that do, and I'm sure you're right, whether they would say so or not, there are probably people in this building in positions of high authority that would rather not see that. But, that being said, we here locally understand the circumstances of that particular contest in that game. Like you said, you know, you're not expecting the rain. Most people weren't expecting it to rain like that.
Sure.
It was a much nastier set of conditions. And
yeah, blame Tim Deegan.
Well, maybe, if you want to, or blame Mike Burrish. I don't know what
whoever said
the whole story.
Whoever. It was funny, though, being in the stadium, and when that halftime whistle blew, the just log jam at all the exit ramps just to get out of that weather. It was crazy watching it because people were just standing there waiting like it's the Golden Corral to get into the tunnel. It was thousands of people just trying to get out of that weather. And then there were the honor rows where that little section was still completely full. Those kids were stuck up there in it. They weren't really going to the concession stand.
The teachers weren't letting them leave.
Their moms are feeling real good today as they're still out of school.
Yeah, they had this completely empty stadium, and then the honor rows up there in the corner was still
good for them.
Full up.
Good for them.
Maybe we need to put the honor rows right down front.
Give them better seats. They sucked it up.
The butt zone was packed. All that area was packed. All the cabanas with the tents that were up there. I mean,
I had a lot of people tell me that same thing, that if there was an overhang, we were finding it, and we weren't leaving. But I also had a lot of people tell me that it was miserable. They had their kids with them. Their kids were saying, "Dad, can we please go home? You know, this is
not what
we." It wasn't
a great crowd to begin with. It was an okay crowd.
It was probably the worst crowd.
Which, by the way, is pretty understandable.
Right,
and it's Houston. It's not the New York Giants. It's not Cleveland. It's not who else has been on the schedule. You know, but they've had a pretty good
home
schedule. I'm talking about the Miami. They've had a pretty good home schedule, and I think that if you ranked the home schedules, I think that, you know, Houston would have been one of the worst home games.
I can tell you right now,
to.
If I was looking at the schedule and I was a fan making a decision as to I'm going to go to one of these last games in December at home, I'm going to Thursday night against Tennessee because I think they're going to win that game, and I'd rather go to the Thursday night.
Thursday nights are kind of party atmosphere.
Right.
You know, I'm with you. And then maybe you take Friday off.
And if I woke up and seen the weather, I would have been like, I made the right choice. You know, I mean, it was a miserable day to be out there, so I don't give them that hard a time. The people I give a hard time to are the pictures that they took of that stadium down in Miami with a team that's in the middle of a playoff race.
And it was 80 degrees and sunny.
Right.
In Miami.
This is a team that is in the thick of it, in the AFC, and they got 30,000 people in that stadium.
Was it that bad?
Yeah. I mean, it's shameful.
Miami's been like that forever.
And listen, don't kid yourself. I've talked to players, not necessarily Sunday, but I've talked to players in the past at this franchise, and they notice it. They absolutely notice when the stands aren't full or when they're like that. They notice it, and it probably affects play to some degree. Listen, you're supposed to have a home field advantage. There's no advantage when nobody's out there.
Yeah, understood. Understood. So, there's no advantage when nobody's out there. But in this particular circumstance,
you're cutting them some slack.
I would have probably said, you know what? I was going to have another hot toddy, maybe get another massage, and leave it at that. But that's me.
That's you. Listen,
I'm not intrepid reporter Mark Long of the Associated
Press. I wasn't trying to break the franchise up. Yoko Ono here. I'm not trying to break anybody up. I was merely reporting what I saw.
I understand. But then
I put it in context too. Now, what I didn't put in context was that it was a bitterly cold rain that was supposed to be, you know, listen, I came in here listening to the radio and all I heard was Lauren Brooks talking about the sun kept peeking out.
Well,
and then I got out of my car and I went, Lauren, where is she seeing the sun?
I thought as we were doing the pregame too, like Lauren was way
overselling. Oh my God. It's starting
conditions.
To be, yeah, it's warming up.
Hey,
the sun's
Brooks,
peeking out.
This is on
Come on,
you.
Stop lying to people. Stop
this is
lying
all on
to
you,
people.
Lauren.
You know, I guess I should have been more realistic about the conditions, but.
Oh, she's like, it's a gorgeous day.
She did.
Come on,
I said it was perfect for football.
It was awful.
It was football weather.
Have you ripped her previously?
Have I ripped Lauren for
no,
this issue?
No, for this.
Not really, okay, no. Although,
right.
while we're doing
I thought about it all.
It's running through my head like that.
Thank you.
That was odd.
Hey, well, I'm glad it wasn't me.
No, really, the sun was peeking through when I was at the Clevelander deck. I saw a tiny little bit of blue sky.
You know what I saw from the Clevelander deck after?
Shut it down.
An hour after the game. It's supposed to be open for 2 hours after the game.
Mm-hmm.
They shut it down like an hour after the game. It was that windy, and it became unsafe up there with the cabanas. It was that windy and that awful that they shut it down. They shut down the TVs. They shut down the big screens. They shut down the Clevelander deck, sent everybody home. Literally an hour after the game.
All right.
I do want to share this story, though. On Sunday nights, I go out and I do trivia at Colhane's, and I had a group of guys that were in
Plug.
I had a group of guys that were in from New York. It's a group of Jets fans, and it's five or six guys. It's a couple dads and their sons, and they've made it a point to try to visit every NFL stadium. Now, they picked the wrong Sunday to come to Jacksonville, but it's the first time they have been down here, and they're out there hanging out at the bar. I'm talking to the guys after the trivia contest, and I'm like, so you guys are just going to a bunch of different NFL stadiums? They're like, yeah. And I was like, well, how was your experience compared to the 15, 16 other places you've been? They were like, this is the best I've had. Like, honestly, the experience getting into, getting out of, and when you're actually in that stadium is the best that they've experienced in the NFL. They had no idea that all those amenities that they were going and enjoying were brand spanking new. They didn't know the boards were new. They didn't know the cabanas were new. They didn't know the pools were new. They didn't know any of that. They thought that's what we've had down here for a while. And I was like, no, this is like the sixth game where people have been able to go out and enjoy that. And they were like, it's the best experience we've had, and they've been to about 20 stadiums.
And on top of that, early third quarter, they got to move down really close.
Wherever they wanted
to. Get a good view.
I don't know anything
well.
About that.
All right. But that's good to hear, though, Tony.
Yeah.
And we do hear that. I mean, that's been the thing, the fan polling, the exit polling this year has been that the Jags have graded as the highest game day experience of any team in the National Football League. You'd like to play on the field to match that,
no doubt.
Obviously. All right, 6-4-1-10-10. Had to address that issue with one Mark Long of the Associated Press. Today, we'll get into where the Jags stand going into the final three games of the season. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asking you today, which Jaguar player, which one would you most like to see take a step forward over these final three games? Blake Bortles is an obvious answer. So if you want to answer Blake Bortles and someone else, you're certainly able to do that or willing or capable of doing that or allowed to do that or whatever the case may be. Or if you just want to think a little bit outside the box, you can do that as well. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Akon. Is this Akon? Is that how you say it?
Is this I'm Yours?
Akon. This is Sorry, Blame It On Me.
It's too obvious.
Well, Is this Mark Wong?
Is she blaming me?
Absolutely, I am.
No, she should be. I think this is her mea culpa for blame. You blame it on her.
No,
I
would never.
She screwed up the weather report. To anyone who was listening to 1010,
this is Mark Wong apologizing.
You did screw up.
I didn't apologize. I'm not apologizing. I'm not backing for the record. Okay?
I did not screw up the weather report. I just didn't know there was going to be rain either. That's all.
Uh-oh, there goes the door. Surprised that doesn't happen more often.
Well, it usually happens when I'm in.
Is that what it is?
I tend to scream.
I tend to scream every day.
If I get a little
little
worked up.
I'm one of these guys puts a headset on thinks I need to talk louder now. Because I can't hear as well with earphones over my ears. So to be clear, we're blaming it on Mark Long. Is that what we're saying?
Absolutely. Here?
Okay. You were blaming on me.
Well,
you get all the blame.
I count myself 3 for 3 on music themes.
You should.
And I'm very happy with that.
I was really impressed with yesterday's. You knocked it out of the park. You really did.
The hell was yesterday?
I don't remember.
Amari Cooper, wide receiver.
Oh yeah,
that was. Coop. I didn't think that was that difficult. Really.
Well, that shows that you're getting smarter.
I'm learning you.
Why Cooper?
Also true.
Oh, because yesterday's question was which of the Heisman finalists would most help this team next year. You'd figured Amari Cooper would win, but there are a lot of people that said Melvin Gordon. A couple of people that said Mariota because you could get the most trade value for him in the draft. So that's not happening. We know that's not happening.
I'm not talking about the trade, but the
drafting of a quarterback.
Right.
You know, maybe a late round, something like that.
So this team's going to end up picking probably, what, 4th or 5th?
When it's all said and done.
Listen, well, first off, the Bucs are a debacle. They're not going to win again. Tennessee's a debacle. They're not going to win again. This team's going to beat Tennessee.
Well, that would determine it then, if they beat Tennessee. I tend to agree with you, but who am I missing?
Oh, and Oakland. Oakland's in there. So they'll end up picking. I'll bet they'll end up picking
5 teams
fourth.
With 2 wins.
Are they not a debacle?
I think they end up picking 4th. No, they're not.
They weren't last week.
Oakland's not a total debacle. No.
They were the week before.
But I don't think they're very talented. And that's similar to this team. I think
the Bucks
debacle,
could easily win this week. They're playing Carolina. Cam Newton's got a broken back.
And the Bucks will find. And the Bucks lost to 2 backups to start the season.
Yeah,
if I remember
one of which was the Carolina Panthers, Derek Anderson.
I think he threw all over him. I think they gave up 300 yards to him.
They may have. I know. I was looking up.
I think he destroyed
the numbers.
That
Kelvin
defense.
Benjamin and Greg Olsen had nice fantasy outings.
Yeah, they
in
did.
Week one.
So
I looked at that yesterday, as a matter of fact. So, yeah. They could. Well, but they still could win that football game. I'm not saying the Bucs are a good football team.
No, they're a debacle.
They are a debacle. But are they technically still alive in that division, or are they eliminated?
No, they're eliminated. I think because of the head-to-head matchups that remain.
Tough break.
Because they're 3 games back, and those two of those teams play each other.
Yeah.
So they're out.
Bucs draft quarterback, right? They don't seem sold on Mike Glennon.
Or McCown. They gave McCown a ton of money. How do you? I mean, that's my question.
I don't think they gave him a ton of money.
Look it up.
I will look it up.
Tony.
They gave him
pretty good money.
I don't know. They didn't give him like. I bet they gave him bottom half of the league starter money. Is what they gave him. I mean, they brought him in to be a starter, right?
They paid him to be a starter.
Yeah, but they didn't pay him big to be.
Two
a starter.
2 years, $10 million.
That's not best. Okay, Chad Henne right. money. Come on. Seriously. That's not big money. They'll cut him loose.
All right, you're right.
All right.
You're right.
But either way, I mean, if the Bucs stay up there, let's say the Bucs are ahead of them and they draft a quarterback, that could even be a better scenario. You know, if the Bucs want a quarterback badly and they have one that they prefer, and you're sitting there right behind them, and if Mariota and Winston do separate themselves in the process as being the clear-cut targets in the draft, might get a better hole.
No, you could. I can't remember another season where at this point we still had this many teams fighting for that number one spot. I mean, we have 5 teams that are 2-11 in the NFL this year. I can't remember another year where we've had that kind of situation. And the good news for the Jags.
What happened to parity, by the way?
I know. Well, the parity
is. I guess
is
there is parity, though.
A bunch of teams have it and a bunch of teams don't. I think the gulf between the haves and the have-nots is bigger than it's ever been.
Right, but the haves are all kind of together. There's no one.
There's
team.
Only like 2 10-win teams, right?
Something.
New England and Green Bay?
Arizona.
Arizona.
And Denver.
Who is it?
Denver.
In the AFC.
How many altogether? Arizona, Denver, New England, Green Bay?
4 right now.
4, okay.
10.
So 4 10-win teams.
Well, and the good news for the Jags is, of those 5 teams that are in that kind of 2-11 mix, 3 of them are probably going to be looking at quarterback. early in this draft. Now, the Jags aren't
they're
all
going to be picking ahead of them.
Oakland's not one of them. Maybe. Oakland's not one of them. Tennessee, the Jets, and Tampa could all be looking at
upgrading
that quarterback.
Geno Smith just said he has played like a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback at times.
And I'm not surprised at all that he would say
I got the Jags winning two of their final three games.
Two? Think they'll beat Houston?
Uh-huh.
I don't think
Tennessee and Houston.
I mean, they could beat Houston. They could have beat them this week.
They should have.
You can argue they should have.
Give up 135 yards passing.
True.
Give up 120. Basically,
but you gave up a bunch on the ground.
Okay, 51 of that was meaningless because it led to a field goal. But like, okay, I'm just saying, if you take away Arian Foster's, he ran for 127, and I know, listen, you can't take away anything, but the 51-yard run, which was fairly, didn't kill you by any means. I mean, he still only ran for 70 something yards.
Yeah, but
I mean,
what did you do to match that?
Well, that's week in and week out. But that's the problem.
You say they should won. They're playing to their level right now.
And people have figured them out. I look at the numbers.
Yeah, just blitz them.
Well, and people aren't trying to. They're not trying to throw for 300 yards against this team. I don't think they haven't given up a ton of passing yards in the last 10 weeks.
Even though
they've been gouged a little bit on the ground, I think teams have realized that. Listen. If we don't shoot ourselves in the foot and turn the ball over three or four times, Jacksonville will, at some point, turn the ball over and can't do enough offensively to score.
But when did they
figure that
out? This week?
No, because they figured it out the last 8 weeks.
Well, the two previous weeks, they enforced a ton of turnovers, 6 turnovers in those two previous weeks. I don't think it
True,
was a case
and a lot
of
sacks.
Right, exactly. I don't think it was a case of Indy not wanting to throw the ball. That's all they want to do.
They can do.
Right.
Some teams are hamstrung.
I thought Jacksonville, considering that, did a pretty good job on Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck statistically probably had one of his worst games of the year, if not his worst. Game of the year,
probably.
He threw right around 250 yards for that guy this season.
The Giants don't. I mean, and that was a. I agree that game, that one to me was a little bit of a, not a fluke, but it was. I think Indy struggled again this week to protect Luck early against Cleveland. I think they had some similar issues.
Yeah, well, they struggled offensively as a whole.
They can't really run the ball.
Right.
And they're not that good on the offensive line. They've got an unbelievable receiver in T.Y. Hilton. Got some pretty talented tight ends. A good number two in Reggie Wayne.
Dante Moncrief.
And then
the big
thing is they've got the trigger man. They've got one of the best trigger man.
You think that's important?
Yeah, I'm all about the obvious.
Yeah, he's probably a top 5-6 quarterback
sure.
in the league right now.
Sure.
Right?
And if anybody's building a franchise, he's the guy you take.
Yeah.
You take him over 10 years.
Depends on if over a 10-year period, you don't take him over a 3-year period.
No, you take him, right. No, because
no, but if
Aaron
you're,
Rodgers,
right, you're
taking Aaron Rodgers over.
Right, for the next
you're taking,
3 to 5
I
years.
I would bet 32, I would bet
oh,
probably 30
yeah,
or 32
were,
take
if,
him over Russell Wilson.
If you were starting a franchise,
sure.
Period. All the players go back in the pool. He's the first pick in the league. No
right.
question in my mind. Absolutely. And then probably out of the first 15 picks, probably 13 of them be quarterbacks.
Well, yeah.
Or close to it, right? A dozen of them, something like
yeah.
that would be quarterbacks.
The elite guys, yeah.
Yeah.
And J.J. Watt's going to be up there.
And you'd roll
Julio
with that because you'd figure, you know, 3 or 4 years of a surefire thing at the quarterback position. Every
gives you a
position,
chance. It
every
gives
position
you a chance.
Is a craps shoot. For
that
the,
quarterback gives you a chance.
The most part. This week against Baltimore, you're not giving them much of a chance.
No, I don't think they even have a puncher's chance, you know, a fighter's chance of going up there. I think they're
no Torrey Smith.
It's a buzzsaw for them, buzzsaw game. I don't think it matters.
Do you think the
Steve
former...
Smith is still plenty to handle?
Yes, he is. And Joe Flacco had a very big game this week without throwing to Torrey Smith. He was in there as a decoy. Already, reports are he likely won't suit up against the Jags this week. For the Ravens. Justin Forsett's having a hell of a year.
Yeah, 1,000 yards.
I mean, really having a hell of a year. Do you think there is some of that? I don't know if it really matters. Like, if Eugene Monroe wants to stick it to the Jags, what is he going to do, block harder? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I mean, they may enjoy their success more, but I don't know if it necessarily. Now, you got a guy like Daryl Smith. Maybe you're a defender. You could play a little bit more. You know, with your ears pinned back, you play a little bit more high energy. You're an offensive lineman. You got to play like you're going to play, right?
Do. Yeah, I don't think, I know that stuff, a lot of people think that's overrated in the league, but there's also some validity to it when you look at guys who do well against, against their former teams and guys who play well in contract years. There's something there that says that there's something to be motivated for.
Oh, there certainly is. And, you know, in certain circumstances, like Steve Smith going against Carolina this year, you felt not only did he want to perform, but his teammates are probably looking to help him
have
that kind of performance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Mike Peterson was the classic example in this locker room forever.
Oh, yeah.
Just go talk to him during Indy Week. Yeah. He's the easiest interview you could ever
and he
do.
And he would played his best against the Colts.
Very inspired football. All right, let's get some calls in. 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. JD is going to lead us off today. Hey, JD, how are you?
Hey, good, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I am the guy that Mark is talking about. I left at halftime. I've been a season ticket holder since 98, and I have a 5-year-old son. The weather reports going into the day, I mean, you've already talked about it. I've two different outlets locally and weather.com all had it partially cloudy with chance sun peeking out and a 10% chance of rain at the end of the game. So with having a 5-year-old and trying to get in the stadium with all that stuff, you want to try to, you know, pare it down as much as possible. So just weren't prepared for the rain. And, you know, he's shivering to death at halftime and he wants to go back out and watch the game. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. You know, it just, in those circumstances, just very unusual. It's not the normal. I've been going to bad weather games as long as I knew what to prepare for. You know, I'd have coats or rain ponchos or anything. I just wasn't prepared for this one. And I really think this is an unusual circumstance.
I tend to agree.
I think he's probably right, yeah. And I feel for you. I do feel for the people who had their kids there and who were completely unprepared. And hopefully that's the case. Hopefully it's a one-off, you know, situation where...
I think Thursday night football will be outstanding atmosphere.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I don't think there's any question.
You know, and at that point, you're likely a 2-12 team. You know, you're still not going anywhere against a really bad team. You know, there's nothing that makes you want to come out and watch the Tennessee Titans right now.
No.
I mean, seriously, Zach Mettenberger?
No.
It looks like he's done for the year. You know, Justin Hunter, lacerated spleen. Kendall Wright's got a broken hand.
So they go back to locker?
Yeah, for the final few games of the season. So
and listen, and as our boy, you know, Duval Doom, we mention him on the show all the time because he tweets to us regularly. Yes, I will be tweeting pictures next Thursday night of what a great job the team has done putting people in the stands for a 2-12 team. Oh, wait, 3-11 team.
Yeah, Doom said he used to care. Now he just figures what the blank ever. It annoyed me you tweeted it, but oh well. So that was one of his contributions today. Thank you, Doom. Let's get DJ in next up on Jaguars today. Good morning, DJ.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. My thing right now, I'm basically at the end of the season. I really don't see no improvement as a team from week one. And I was at that Philly game week one, and I thought it was the best first half in Jaguars, like, history. But from that point on, the end of the second half in Philly to where we are now, I'm just talking about the team because, you know, every day on the radio, you guys be talking about these moments and these flashes. And I'm done with that. I really want to, you know, who's our dogs? Who's our Mike Evans? Like the dogs that we can depend on week after week, getting, you know, yards. So with that, where do they go in the off season? Because it's like it's still a lot. If you think about it, once you guys in the regular season, we're gonna have a whole bunch of question marks with every position again. Other than the quarterback, that's still a question mark too with his growth and development. But where do you guys see this franchise moving forward to be relevant in wins and losses?
Where do we see in terms of what kind of positions are they going to target to improve the roster? I'm not sure if I answer if I understand.
How we improve the roster with still so many question marks. You understand? Like some teams got question marks, but they might need to improve their offensive line. A la Dallas Cowboys. You see what I'm saying? Some teams just got a few question marks. We still have double-digit question marks.
I got it. All right, DJ, I tell you what, we're up against a break. Let's address that when we come back on the other side.
Sounds good.
All right, 641-1010, if you'd like to get in. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, Mark Long from the Associated Press, Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Badfinger, day after day, be pointing the bad finger at you, pal.
She's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Today.
Listen, People in Glass Houses, she ever heard that one? Listen,
it's a whole album by Billy Joel.
You should be more up on the weather on Sundays. That's all I'm saying.
I have never given a weather forecast. That is not my role. My role is to tell people how much fun the parking lot is, Mark.
Well, you lied on Sunday. That's all I know.
Didn't
not
lie.
About how fun it was, about the sun peeking out.
The you sun did peek through. I should have taken a picture.
I didn't have Warren's
you
angle.
You should have tweeted a picture.
You were under a tent, Mike.
I had
you
a
can't,
bad angle.
You can't see the sun.
I had a bad angle
there was
in the
no,
sky.
There was no sun.
I know. Wait a minute.
Tiny little bit of sun.
You set people up
for freezing.
For failure. You started the whole thing. If I hadn't heard you say the sun was peeking out and what a gorgeous day it was, I probably wouldn't have tweeted the picture at the start of the third quarter saying, telling people, come on.
It's all my fault.
It's really your fault. Again.
Well, I'm still pointing the finger at you.
I know that now.
We should get Duval Doom in here to debate you one day.
Duval Doom?
Yeah, I like Duval Doom.
I don't know if he could do it clean.
He doesn't tweet clean, but that's all right. I don't mind it because he's like cursing at us, I don't feel. He's just cursing for effect, for emphasis at times. He thinks, by the way, the attendance for Thursday Night Football will be terrible.
And a lot of the other, our regulars, I will call them, our Twitter regulars, are debating that right now.
Yeah, some agree, some disagree.
No, they think that it'll be hopping. It's a night game, Thursday night game.
I think so, but...
I'll say this. I talked to the people who did the stadium a couple weeks ago, the scoreboards, who are in charge of the graphics on the scoreboards. They created the whole thing. And they said, you're not going to see anything like what you're going to see Thursday night from those scoreboards. It'll light up the downtown. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, they're pretty impressive during the day at a 1 o'clock game. They're going to be off the chain at 8 o'clock at night, 8:30. You like that? I knew you were going to comment. Can we talk about your shirt, by the way?
Yes. Well, I was going to bring it up myself. Do you want to talk about my shirt first or what the Jags can do this offseason?
Let's answer this guy's question, and we'll talk about your awful shirt. I need
a
tweet. I'm going to tweet a picture of it.
Go ahead. Tweet a picture of it. I don't care. Tony,
I'll retweet a picture of it. It's
Bush
awful.
Bushkill Falls, Pennsylvania,
anyway,
baby.
Listen, they've got $60 million in cap space to spend money. They're going to spend money. He was talking about what position. They've got a lot of holes, and he's right. There's a lot of holes to fill. You got to count on some of your younger guys taking a step. That's number one. You got to count on the offensive line. You got to count on those young receivers. You got to count on Blake Bortles. You got to count on the secondary. Somewhere in there, they're not going to go address all of those. They've addressed them. They drafted guys. They've made selections. They've put guys in position. At some point, they've got to have a couple of those guys take this next step.
All right, list them again. What positions are those?
Offensive line, receiver, quarterback, and secondary.
I think receivers in that group, too.
Well, yeah, you've got three young receivers, three rookies, basically.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, do you necessarily... I know he's had a terrific year in terms of production based on the average rookie. Historically, he set the record. But is Allen Hurns... Do you see? I mean, do you look
he's
at that and say, we've got these three
he's
guys...
Take a step.
I understand that, but do these three guys represent to you just clear cut the future top three of the depth chart?
I think you've got a lot. Well, listen, we're going to go down this road again.
No, I'm not going down the Blackman road.
Okay, well,
you know where I
stand, and I'm at the top of the list of believers who think Justin Blackman's going to be playing
and
starting for this team in 2015.
And if he is, then you're correct.
Okay.
Then I would totally agree with you.
Okay.
All right. But we don't know that and I'm hopeful.
I'm telling you. Okay. You're hopeful,
and I'm telling you
that the people in this building are probably more hopeful than you
and
I.
But that's
based on
further setbacks. We can't predict that.
Based on what they're hearing.
Okay, but
right.
What you're hearing now,
yes, okay,
there are
agreed.
Months and months
listen,
and months
and I
to
get
go.
It. And I get the part of the fan base who don't want to get their hopes up, who've been crushed and demolished by Blackman already a couple times now, and they don't want to go there yet. They're not willing to go there yet. And until he gets even reinstated, they don't want to think that down. But I'm just telling you what the thought inside this building is, that those three rookies with Justin Blackman is going to be an unbelievable
four receivers. That I can agree with.
So they're not going to go.
That's fine.
So don't go draft a guy.
That's fine.
And if you get stuck starting Marquise Lee,
there's a lot of time now between now and May.
Fine. And if you get stuck starting Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson, you could do a lot worse.
You could.
And maybe you go get an Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, listen, Emmanuel Sanders, one of the great.
He came in here
and he visited here and they tried to sign him. He went to Denver.
Apparently, according to Sanders, they didn't try very hard.
Well, yeah, but he didn't. It's not like he's breaking the bank in Denver. So, but my point is, maybe you go get another. Maybe you go get a veteran who's available. But I'm just telling you, if they don't, it's not the end of the world. They've got other spots that they got to go. They need to upgrade at safety. They need to upgrade probably at outside linebacker.
Free safety, you're saying?
Yes.
I'm assuming.
Yes.
Although the play needs to be upgraded from Jonathan Cyprian.
Sure. Both. Yeah, absolutely.
He needs to play better.
And, you know, they probably need to address running back. Certainly tight end is an issue. And then who knows? You know, they're gonna fill some other spots. I don't know what they do at defensive end. I mean, how long do you keep?
I mean, you've been saying and with great logic, because Dave Caldwell laid out the premise that if you have three consecutive high picks and you're building, you're starting over, you're taking a quarterback, a left tackle, and a defensive end in some order. That's your preference.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
And they went offensive tackle, they went quarterback.
So the great likelihood they got to go
defensive end. And it's a really good draft for defensive ends.
If you're a betting man, the great likelihood is that's the position they.
Yeah, if they even if they could get the trade, even if somebody wants Mariota or Jameis Winston or whatever,
I bet they hope they
somebody,
do.
Yeah, if somebody wants to come up and trade up, they'll trade back and they'll still be able to get a starting defensive end in the middle of the first round.
3-year, $15 million contract, by the way, for Emmanuel Sanders. I'm guessing the Jags were nowhere near that.
Right. Well,
you know,
which is surprising to me because. I mean, they paid Toby Gerhart basically that. Paid him, what, $4 million a year? Isn't Toby 3 years? 3 years, 12?
310?
310? Okay, so 3.3. Yeah, I mean.
But you thought he was going to be your workhorse guy at the time, too.
Right.
Dave Caldwell said, he told me over in London that he is very comfortable with the money that Toby's making going forward. If he is nothing but a third down back
sure.
on this team.
You I know, believe that.
It's not ridiculous cash.
And when we talk about that $60 million, they've got a couple guys also on their roster they need to address. I think we looked at it. It's probably Roy Miller at defensive tackle. Probably want to keep him.
Top of the list.
Ryan Davis, number two probably. Defensive end has been unbelievably productive this year.
JT Thomas.
Another guy you want to keep, a very versatile linebacker, can play the auto, can play middle. Obviously, he's playing the middle right now. The question will be, what could he get on the open market? I don't know. And then there's one other one. Who are you missing?
It was Miller, Ball, and JT.
Ball's a possibility.
Yeah.
I just think McCray's played so well that McCray's going to be a starter.
And then Colvin coming up.
Colvin's going to play. Colvin Gratz, and the loser there probably plays the slot.
Right. If they bring back Ball, it wouldn't be for much money.
No.
I mean, they're going to have somebody.
And I think Ball will probably be able to hit the market and make something somewhere because he's still fairly young and, you know, he's still.
Starting experience.
Still a lot of starting experience.
Yeah.
And he's played pretty well.
So, look.
So the guy, the big one, the big name but of all of those, the bigger name is Cecil Shorts. And I think that it's become painfully clear and painfully obvious that this franchise will not even bother re-signing Cecil Shorts.
He had a great opportunity, and there are several fronts where you really can't blame them on that. One, the inability to stay healthy. You know, and I know he's healthy right now, but he's certainly had his ups and downs all year long, starting in the off season and throughout his career at times. And, you know, just the inconsistency. He took a step back in his play this year. And you talked about earlier franchise year guys or contract year guys, you know. You've got every incentive to go out there and do it and not that I don't, look, it's not like Cecil slacks. Everybody here universally, top to bottom in this organization, everybody tell you how hard a worker he is, how good a guy he is. He's great in the meeting room. He's great in the film room. He's great everywhere. He's a great teammate. Just hasn't been a great player.
I think that he's a perfect example of a guy who might try too hard or want it too badly. I almost wonder if it's affecting him. We talked about this earlier in the year. There was a thought that some of his injuries earlier in the year were because of him overworking himself and then stress related because of the contract and all of that maybe causing some tightness in his muscles that shouldn't be there, that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe he's a guy who just wants it too. He tries really hard, but maybe too hard because he's trying to do too much sometimes. Sunday was awful. 10 targets, 2 catches. 3 yards, an unbelievably bad drop.
Yeah, a couple of drops, one
yeah,
really,
one
really,
really,
bad one.
Really blatant drop. I mean, you know, you go back, I think it was the Tennessee game that he basically crossed him by fumbling on the 9-yard line there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So, you know, the guy.
Although with this team, I don't know how you can count on first goal at the 9 resulting
in
more than a field goal attempt.
You can't, but again, I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
I think that they've looked at him.
They're moving on.
And while there was talk about earlier in the year, there were thoughts about re-signing him. I think those have diminished significantly.
I agree. We'll save time a little bit later.
We gotta still talk about the shirt. I'm gonna tweet a picture of it.
Go right ahead. I don't mind. I'm very proud of my shirt today that I'm wearing. Tony, you have an issue with my shirt?
I
like yours a lot.
Thank you.
Tony's wearing a Jaguars Today shirt. I don't see you representing over there, Mr. AP. coming up, we've got this date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL, as well, pop quiz day for the boys. Haven't had a pop quiz in a couple weeks around these parts. Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor for all size plumbing jobs in home, for your business, industrial, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter has got the solution for you. Same day service, Saturday and Sunday included, the right people with the right equipment. MetroRooter.com. 695-1911. Go ahead. You want me to smile?
No, I'm not getting your face. But now,
don't get my face. That's better if you don't get my face.
I want proof that it's.
No,
you.
I'll pose for you. You don't have to wait and get an odd angle. Get the full effect of Bushkill Falls, Pennsylvania. Hang on 1 second. That's coming your way. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. It was this date, December 10th, 1989. Seattle wide receiver Steve Largent made, at the time, his NFL record-breaking 100th touchdown catch in the Seahawks' 24-17 win at Cincinnati. Pop quiz time!
Oh.
Currently, Steve Largent is tied for 7th now, all time. So, clearly, the modern day has seen most of the heavy touchdown productions among receivers in terms of being posted. Give me the top 10. Who you got in the top 10 all time of touchdown receptions in the National Football League? Only one player is active that's on this list. So
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice at the top, obviously. 197.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, number 2.
Calvin Johnson.
Buck 56. Calvin Johnson not to be found. Calvin Johnson is... Way Calvin Johnson's got
really?
72.
Played long enough yet. Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens is number 3. Tony knows
Marvin Harrison.
The game. Marvin Harrison's number 5. Picking it up there
for
the Associated
Gonzalez.
Press. Tony Gonzalez number 6. We missed a guy who this is all he did.
Chris Carter.
Is number four. Tim Brown's number 7.
Antonio
Tony's
Gates.
He's going right down the list.
Is Reggie Wayne the active?
Antonio Gates is the active. You just got that. And then there's one old timer here. If you know your old-timey receivers, you should be able to get this guy.
Fred Biletnikoff.
No. I'll just give it to you. It's Don Hutson, who was considered one of the, obviously, the greatest receivers of all time. So your top 10, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Chris Carter, Marvin Harrison, Tony Gonzalez, Tim Brown, Steve Largent, Don Hutson, Antonio Gates. Gates, by the way, has 96. 101 more, and it'll catch Jerry Rice for the all-time.
Where is Calvin Johnson, by the way?
Calvin Johnson at 72, which is a few more than Jimmy Smith, who had 67, your Jaguar franchise record holder. He's tied for 42nd. Jimmy is active, guys. Now, Gates is 10th with 96. Larry Fitzgerald is 89. He's good for number 12. Reggie Wayne is 82. That's 22nd on the list. Steve Smith climbing the charts at 32. Former Jaguar Torrey Holt in there at 74 as well. So we've got a Jaguar presence high on the list. Calvin Johnson.
Does he really count as former Jaguar?
Absolutely.
He's here for a year.
I'm claiming him. He's going to wear that on his bust in Canton. Anquan Boldin has 69. Marcus Colston in the top 50 all time. That just goes to show you
what an
era we live in right now. You play with the guy who's throwing it for $5,000 every year, prior to this season at least, down in New Orleans.
Yep.
And you put up big numbers. Santana Moss slips into the top 50 as well with 66.
How about that?
How about that? Right? There you go. That is the This Date in Football History brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, you can call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225. They're a certified Invisalign provider, and you can get 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton was involved in a two-car crash yesterday. Witnesses say that his truck flipped four times in the accident before landing upside down. Cam was conscious on the scene, taken to the hospital. The injuries that were revealed were two transverse process fractures in his spine. We know that injury because it's the same one that Tony Romo has been dealing with during this season. The injury forced Romo to miss one game before returning to the Cowboys lineup against the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. Newton and the Panthers are in the middle of a division race at 4-8-1, just a half game behind the Atlanta Falcons and New Orleans Saints in the NFC South. Carolina will be at home against Tampa Bay on Sunday. No word yet on Cam Newton's availability for that one, although it doesn't look great for him to play this
week.
Oh,
what a choice matchup. Now that he's okay, we can just say what a choice matchup that would have been against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home this week.
It would have been. This year's number one overall draft pick, Jadeveon Clowney, underwent microfracture knee surgery yesterday. The timetable for his return is expected to be 9 months, which would be right at the beginning of next year's regular season. And finally, Johnny Manziel will be getting his first start in the NFL this Sunday when the Browns play host to the Cincinnati Bengals.
You see his cake? His birthday cake?
Johnny?
Yeah.
No.
It was crazy. It was basically two big bags of money, right? It wasn't a flat cake. They were like, you know, big, like you would think that stereotypical bag overflowing with coins and dollars, whatever.
Doesn't look like a cake. Sign. It looks like a wax sculpture.
Right, but I'm sure it's, you know, you've seen those cake shows. They make anything.
Oh, I know.
Any shape cake these days. It costs $600. It's just two big money bags.
Took 2 days, they said, at the bakery.
Wow.
To make it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
They wanted something special.
I don't
understand,
though. You gotta have a special doesn't really,
cake.
I mean, it's, you know, listen, as we were talking about in the break, Major League Baseball players should have money bags. NBA players should have money bags. I know.
Rub
I know that's
his together,
sign,
baby.
But that's what they should have. They should have put his fingers there. Him rubbing his fingers
that
together.
That would have been good, too. But I think that, I mean, certainly the money. He did the money phone, you know, the stack of bills phone.
If only he had real money.
I think he's got plenty of money.
He's got good,
family money.
He's got good money.
Yeah. He's got first round pick money.
Autograph money.
Probably got plenty of autograph money. He's got that family money, right, man. His family's right. Loaded. That's why he went to all those games courtside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Apparently, his family's got
Money Manziel.
Crazy right. Money. Money Manziel. What are you showing him over there?
I was
showing
just showing
the
cake.
The picture of the cake.
All right. Shall we address I
tweeted a picture of it.
Yeah.
You got some.
Now, my sleeves are wrinkly. There's no question about that. My sleeves, you know.
Nobody has ripped you for... Nobody's ripped you for your...
For the wrinkly sleeves?
Well, no, yeah. Just you. Somebody did say...
We went to Bushkill Falls, Pennsylvania. It was a family vacation last summer, okay. Right? And we had a timeshare. The in-laws have a timeshare. And they got a free week. They're like, you want a free week? And we're like, hell yeah, we'll go up there and go check out the Poconos. And we went to a family reunion in New Jersey. It was a blast. We had a great time. My 9-year-old son had a wonderful vacation. We saw all kinds of... wild animals, all kinds of great stuff, and I bought a t-shirt in the gift shop. Long sleeve one.
Oh, that came from the gift shop? I never would have guessed.
I know you couldn't have figured that out, but I never
would have guessed that came from the gift shop.
I don't understand.
It either came from the airport or the gift shop.
I don't put on airs. I am who I am. I'm a radio guy. I don't have to dress well.
You have a deer on your shirt and a waterfall.
Logan will shoot me if he walks by. This is very lifelike.
Yeah, you can't wear that with logs.
I do. I have a bunch of little signposts on here, too, that tell you all the different things, all the different waterfalls that you can walk to.
Good luck with that.
In Bushkill Falls. I'm fine with it. I don't have a problem.
Did your wife get a match?
I was told on Twitter that my shirt is straight fire, and I think that's a good thing.
Straight.
In fact, and I doubt there's any sarcasm involved in that
straight
tweet.
Straight fire, and what did he say?
Dempsey got that
white tail swag.
That white tail swag. Yes, that's what I have going
on. I didn't know
on.
There was such a thing. I'll have to ask Jeff about that.
In all seriousness, forwarded a tweet from Duval Doom from Kevin Hine, who said, according to Pro Football Focus's cornerback rankings for the season now, cornerbacks in coverage this year with a minimum of 250 snaps, the top two in the league are Richard Sherman and Demetrius McCray.
Saw that.
That's
impressive.
Impressive.
And I also
impressive.
Saw another tweet where Aaron Colvin's ranked really high in the last 2 weeks among cornerbacks.
Which is a good sign.
Yeah.
And look, I think that's one thing that Dave Caldwell has done. He's nailed later round draft picks. Right? I mean, I think he's...
Yeah.
You look at the first
some guys
years,
don't make teams, and these guys are playing.
Right.
Playing.
Some of them are starters. Now, you can argue, let's say from the third round on, is Dwayne Gratz as good as you hoped he would be? Well, maybe not. But Demetrius McCray kind of makes up for it, right?
Absolutely.
And you've got two guys for your top three cornerback positions that you can see contributing for a while. You look at the guys that they got this year. I mean, from Linder, Telvin Smith.
Blanco.
Yeah, Blanco. I mean, we'll find out about
the
future
we'll
of Storm
Chris,
Johnson.
Chris Smith, but he's making some plays.
But you don't expect all those guys typically to even make your football team.
Right.
You know, so the fact that they've got as many contributors now needs to do, you know, better job hitting the top guys. At least so far. Look, Blake Bortles, jury's out, right? This whole draft, really, the first 2 years,
say,
jury's
this,
out.
The draft from this year, if Blake Bortles turns into the franchise quarterback.
But if.
Because Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee both look like they're going to be at least okay NFL players.
I would agree.
If they hit on Bortles, then this draft was more than a home run. That's a grand slam with the guys we're talking about now.
We always assume that everyone is going to have a natural progression where you get better every year. I don't think Cyprian's taken that step
year. For last instance. Year's draft, there's a lot to question
about
what they did.
I'm just saying going into next year, just because we saw X from Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee doesn't automatically mean they take this major leap forward. I like to think that they will, but that's no guarantee there. I think a lot of people had Cyprian penciled in the Pro Bowl this year. Kidding me?
At least
expectations. And clearly, if Blake hits, the draft is a home run practically whether you get nothing else out of the draft at all. And they've already gotten guys that you think are going to be starters for the foreseeable future here. So it would be, I would agree with you. But that's a big if still right now as well. You know, I mean, he's got all the raw material. He's got all this. He's got all that. He needs to play better, though, right? I mean, he needs to cut down on the turnovers, create more plays, and I understand all the dynamics that go into it because we talk about him every day with all the young players around him, and it's tough to, you know, get any kind of consistency going in those circumstances, but that's where they stand. That's the facts of the matter. All right, there you go. We'll take a timeout if you want to get on board. 641-1010. Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Don't forget the fan feedback spotlight today asking you which player. And Blake Bortles is an obvious choice, but you can go outside the box with this as well. Which player would you like to see step forward his level of play in these next three games to give you a good feeling about them heading into the offseason? Not that their roster spot is necessarily in any danger. Whoever that is to you, share your thoughts on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, where you can check out his timeline and see my sweet shirt. At 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks with your JTech drive of the game. The Jaguars got the ball at the 50-yard line with 7:06 remaining in the first quarter in a scoreless game with the Texans. Blake Bortles hit Marquise Lee for 15 yards, and Denard Robinson ripped off a 16-yard run to help set Jacksonville up at the Houston 4-yard line.
They roll him out of the pocket. Bortles runs to the right, fires it into the end zone. Diving attempt. Touchdown, Jacksonville! A diving catch on the rollout. Lagerman called for it. Bortles delivered it. Allen Hurns with a touchdown.
The ensuing extra point gave the Jags an early 7-0 lead. Unfortunately, they couldn't hold on to it and ended up losing 27-13 to fall to 2-11 on the season.
The Drive of the Game has been brought to you by JTech, a new automotive, diesel, and truck driving school here in Jacksonville. JTech is driving the next generation of under-the-hood and over-the-road technicians and transportation professionals.
Jaguars Today continues. Led Zeppelin, Nobody's Fault But Mine. Once again, the finger of blame.
Once again, I like the fact that Lauren is taking blame for all of this.
She's taking it and shoving it right in your lap, pal. At AP Mark Long, right? What's worse? Worst photo? Mark Long tweeting out the empty stands or Mark Long tweeting out me in my Bushkill Falls t-shirt.
Or Gronk with the cat on his head.
That's by far the worst.
But Gronk's funny.
And you're not?
No, not like Gronk. I'm just a big dude who needs to drop some serious pounds, man.
I do appreciate Gronk without the shirt on. I will say that.
Did you see that one?
Right. Come on now.
I'm telling Pozlesny.
Did I
see that? Pozlesny's married.
I'm still telling him.
I haven't seen any of these, but now you're making me not want to go look. By the way, I know you're married.
I'm telling him anyway.
How do you feel in a you versus Gronk battle? You would fare.
Gronk looks like he might fake tan also. Just saying.
Gronk makes, honestly, and I said this when you sent when I saw the photo, he makes me wish that I was a Patriots fan because he's such just a big, silly,
dumb goof
that he's fun. It's all fun around that guy, and that he's willing to do a photo shoot with kittens is just so ridiculous.
In the middle of the season, too, right?
But it's so Gronk. I mean, that's who he is.
Why not?
Somebody at ESPN was like, hey, you want to do a photo shoot with cats?
What kind of kittens are we talking about? We're not talking about cat kittens,
yeah,
right?
Like okay. little baby
Like adorable
cats.
Ones.
Yeah.
Well, what were you thinking?
I don't know. Gronk's been known to tweet out pictures of himself with porn stars.
Yes, there are all kinds of
kittens he could be posing for photos with. I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Would you call Lauren a kitten?
I would call Lauren a professional broadcaster who I will not cross that line with.
Thank you very much.
Come on.
But not a meteorologist.
She's definitely not a meteorologist.
I at least have respect for Lauren.
This is why when Mike Duraco sat in last Wednesday, he was curious if he could be inappropriate enough.
Right. How inappropriate am I allowed to be on a Wednesday?
He asked that?
Yes, he did.
What did you say?
I said, you probably can't be inappropriate enough. You're probably not going
to. Yeah. Didn't you have somebody tweeted to you earlier asking why we need to get back talking about cheerleaders and.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I think he was making a snarky comment like, I can't believe you're talking about attendance. Talk football. Like, we don't do that every single day.
Yep.
You know, but whatever. It's okay. Twitter gets angry, and they express it in 140 characters or less. And I'm okay with that. By the way, when you say fake tan, do you count tanning booth, or is that just a spray tan that you're...
No, either one. If you go on a booth, yeah, that's a fake tan, too.
I would agree with that,
yeah.
too. Turns you orange.
Mm-hmm. It's also really not good for you. There's that, too.
Is it not?
Real tanning
probably isn't that good for you, either. So,
well, there's some vitamin D.
From a pasty Irish fella, okay, who's had multiple instances of skin cancer in the last 12 months.
That's true. Always wear sunscreen.
I do.
Right? I don't mean you. I mean everyone.
That's why
listening.
I wear my long sleeve Bushkill Falls shirt on a overcast day. I cannot let sun touch these pristine arms of mine right now. Speaking of the Patriots, LeGarrette Blount has resolved his marijuana charge from earlier. This year.
Hooray.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, do we even think about Le'Veon Bell in that context? We think Blount's a troublemaker, right? But Le'Veon Bell's too good, so we're just gonna.
That's right.
We're gonna ride this guy. We're gonna cut LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount's played pretty well. Once again, he's always played well. Ever since he came into the league, he's played well. And now he gives the Patriots that physical dimension. That they've been lacking in their running game. Everyone's turning to the run now. Even Denver wants to run the football right now. Who's your favorite right now? If you had to pick the Super Bowl, what's the matchup?
I like New England.
New England and?
Green Bay. I don't know how do you pick against Green Bay. I know their defense looks a little susceptible. But, listen, that's going to be the key matchup. What happens if it's Green Bay, Seattle? Does offense win there or defense? Because I certainly think Green Bay can score. I certainly think Seattle's playing its best defense of the season right now. A little bit of a return to form. That would be the one people would pay for sure. And then I just think New England, maybe New England, Denver, but New England right now, I mean, they got it going. They've got it going on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, Revis right now is back to his.
Yeah, Revis Island is back. And I like what they're doing with him, putting him on the number two receiver and shutting that down and doubling the number one guy with a safety over the top. I mean, that's unbelievable. Typical Belichick, I guess, doing something different than everybody else. And
yeah, sometimes. Although he took Keenan Allen this week. He took the number one and basically erased him. Keenan Allen, I know, caught two balls for like 3 yards. One of them was when Revis was not covering him. But most of the game, he was just in his hip
pocket. I think that's the brilliance of Belichick when he goes up against a team like San Diego. He's like, this is the only guy in that offense
right.
that from that position can even potentially beat us. So Revis is going to be on that guy. And when he goes up against a team like Denver, he's like, all right, we're going to double Demaryius, and you got Emmanuel. And that's kind of the brilliance of Belichick, that he's always been kind of a step ahead with those kind of game planning techniques. And when it gets to playoff time, it has shut teams down. Like, he just takes so advantage of the guys and the matchups that he has that New England has been so ultra successful at that time of year. I think it's hard knowing that Denver's going to have to go to New England right now to pick Peyton Manning to win on the road against that Patriots team, knowing what, but he's in their head. I mean, Belichick is in Manning's head at that time of year. And the NFC, yeah, I mean, I guess right now it comes down to Green Bay and Seattle.
Green Bay's at Buffalo this week. You'd figure they'd win that.
Yeah.
Right? You'd figure they're at Tampa. They'll win that. Detroit at home week 17. Detroit's in the thick of it. That may be the game that decides it. Because if Seattle wins out, Green Bay better win out.
I think it's whoever's at home in that game is going to wind up winning the thing. And right now it looks like Green Bay is going to have the one seed in the NFC. So I would say right now New England, Green Bay.
Give me your dark horse on each division.
Dark horse?
Conference. Yeah.
I don't think Arizona has a realistic chance.
Yeah, no quarterback, yeah.
I wouldn't say anybody in the NFC South is good enough. I guess the dark horse
Philly?
Would be Philly or Dallas. Over there, maybe Detroit. Detroit's got the
there
defense.
You go. Yeah.
Detroit's got the defense, and if they're healthy, they've got enough weapons with Calvin Johnson, Joique Bell's playing well, to put up enough points. Stafford's been so inconsistent, though, I can't see him necessarily going on a playoff run on the road outdoors in December and carrying them all the way to the Super Bowl. But then again, I can't really see Mark Sanchez getting Philadelphia to the Super Bowl, although he took the Jets to helped along, or maybe rode the defense in the running game to two AFC championship games. In the AFC, who's the dark horse? You know who's the dark horse maybe in the AFC?
Baltimore.
I think Pittsburgh might be the dark
really?
Horse. Yeah, they can score.
Over Cincinnati, I mean?
They just beat them, you know, and beat them by a couple of touchdowns. I think Baltimore certainly is there. Pittsburgh's defense is not very good, but I think they're capable of winning shootouts. I think it's much more likely that it's one of the top two teams in the AFCs, but if you're looking for a dark horse, I mean, maybe San Diego, but I don't think they can do enough offensively to keep
they're
up
with
some of these better
teams. They're not good enough defensively. They can't run the ball.
We'll find out this week. They played Denver very tough last year, three times, including the playoffs, and they get them in San Diego, this week. So maybe I don't think Miami has enough to go on a deep run. I really don't know if any of those teams.
What about Indy? What about Indy?
I think they can win a game. Anytime you have Andrew Luck, you're capable. You have a puncher's chance, I think. But I don't think their defense is all that impressive. The running game is terrible. That's one thing. Pittsburgh can run the ball. They can hit you over the top. They're getting healthier on defense right now. You know, they played without Ryan Shazier, the rookie out of Ohio State, most of the year.
They're still pretty bad on defense, though.
They are, but they're getting some guys back towards the end of the season. I don't know. The likelihood seems like this year it's kind of a chalk. You could take two in each conference and I would feel pretty confident that we're going to get the Super Bowl matchup out of Green Bay, Seattle, New England, and Denver at this point. I still think Seattle gets in.
And I think mostly just because of how difficult it feels like it would be to go on the road to any of those four venues and get a win for any of those teams.
If Green Bay doesn't play better defense than they did, I will agree with Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis on Monday night just kept harping after the game. You know, everyone's right. Oh, man, Aaron Rodgers, he's amazing. He's, you know, and he is. He's playing. Mike McCarthy said he's never seen a quarterback play this well. His game Monday night was just unbelievable to watch.
Flawless.
Just flawless, right? Yeah. I mean, showed you every aspect that you want in a quarterback. Mobility, escapability, strong arm, touch. I mean, again, I talked about it yesterday with Logman. That throw he made to Jordy Nelson in stride, you know, like 55 yards downfield from where he released it, just it never slowed even an instant, you know, just perfect. The guy's on top of his game like nobody's business, and he knows it right now, too. You can tell in the way he's carrying himself. But I still think Seattle overall is the better football team. Let's not forget, Seattle beat them 36-16.
They did.
To open up the season. Now, granted, that was at home, but that's pretty much a blasting.
And those four teams that we're talking about, the two kind of favorites in both conferences, they're a combined 25-1 at home. 25-1.
Wow.
And
Green Bay doesn't punt at home anymore, practically.
No.
I mean, they really
Seattle's
don't.
Got the only loss. Of those four teams, Seattle's the only one that's lost
that
the home
Dallas,
game.
That was Dallas, right?
Right, this year. And it's just going to be so difficult when we get to that time of the year for anyone to travel to those four locations and get a win.
You wonder if Green Bay's best bet to beat them wouldn't be a heavy dose of Eddie Lacy. That's how Dallas beat them. They pushed them around with the offensive line. And
They pushed everybody around, though.
Right, but they pummeled them with, I mean, DeMarco Murray, just it was too much for them. They were too physical for Seattle in that for that one
Can
week.
Can Green Bay do that?
I think Eddie Lacy is pretty good power back, and you know, obviously you've got the fullback, you've got Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb is better than Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, and whoever you want to put at that other
sure.
spot. Terrence
I think
Williams
physically Green Bay is capable. I don't know if their blueprint is such that they're willing to do that to win a game. I don't know with McCarthy and Rodgers if they're willing to kind of take that step back and say, all right, that's the way we're going to win this game. I think they want to throw the ball to win. And when you look at the NFC and you talk about dark horse candidates, I think it should be Dallas, but I don't trust that Cowboys team enough at this time of the year that they're going to go beat anybody in December, much less when they go up against the upper echelon of the NFC that they can go on the road and win those games. I think they're the team that is most built to do it because of their commitment to the running game, because they have a quarterback with that wide receiver combination between him and Dez Bryant and Jason Witten and that offensive line. They are the team that should be built most to go win that kind of game. I just don't trust that organization to go win big games at this time of year.
Yeah, and you're a hater, but that's okay.
I'm a little bit of that, too.
It's okay. I don't know how many people disagree with you other than Dallas fans. How can you, based on their track record in the Tony Romo era? By the way, don't forget, Percy Harvin had a big game for the Seahawks the first time they played Green Bay. Obviously, he's out of the picture, but I'm looking at the numbers. They just did not let Aaron Rodgers throw deep in that football game. He had 189 yards on 33 attempts.
Jeez.
And Jordy Nelson's long, he had nine catches, as long as one went for 16 yards. I would bet that may be the aberration game of the entire year for the Green Bay offense, and they couldn't run it very well either. 12 for 34. Of course, Eddie Lacy had a slow start to the season this year, and Starks went 7 for 37. He was okay there. Well, we'll see. I think a lot of people would like to see that matchup when it comes down to it in the NFC playoffs. Caller wanted to know, we touched on this earlier, will the Jags have any clarity, in your opinion, on Justin Blackmon prior to the draft? I don't know if we know that, right? I don't know if we know what the timetable is going to be.
No, we don't know the timetable, but I think they'll have a good idea. They usually know things before everybody else. I think they'll have an idea where he's at. And,
I think they'll know where he's at.
And I think they'll have an idea where the league's at.
Well, all right, there you go. Perhaps. You think they'll have an idea, if not complete clarity,
maybe not a final decision. Clarity, but yeah, I don't think you're ever going to have complete clarity when it comes to Blackmon, because he's always one test away from...
Right. But beyond that, let's say he's clean. Let's say Justin Blackmon never makes another misstep the rest of his life.
I would think that they would ask for and probably get some clarity before the draft.
Why wouldn't you? Of course you would, yeah. Right? I mean, why wouldn't you do it as quickly as possible?
I would think you might even know before the offseason, which is right after.
Right, before free agency opens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Up,
yeah.
Which would
March, early
be
March.
Your preferred position, obviously. Dr. Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute will stop by. We'll have our Week 15 injury report. You're going to take off, right?
I am. They're starting a little early today, 11:45.
All right.
Blake Bortles. Got any questions for him?
Ask me if he likes my shirt.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Excellent.
He seems like a white tail kind of guy.
I don't know. Could be the case. Could be the case. I'm just going to leave that alone and wish you a happy practice out there. hope it doesn't rain so you don't have to leave practice early.
I would stick it out.
Would you?
Yeah, I am a suck it up guy.
All right, there he goes. It's a 10
and
cents
I am well
for Tom
prepared.
McManus now.
I got layers on. The doc, he's layered. I'll bet he was at the game.
You gotta be layered.
At the game. I'll bet he wouldn't have left early.
Well, now he works for, kind of works for the organization here.
I know.
Jackson Orthopedic and all that.
All right.
See you, Mark Long.
Enjoy.
From the Associated Press. Check him out at AP Mark Long with us every Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. All right. Coming back, we'll get your injury report. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight asking you which player are you looking to, most step forward with their play over the final 3 weeks of the season. All that coming up on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
No, I don't have your...
All right, TLC, waterfalls on your head. I mean, it gets cold when the wind blows.
And it's an homage to your shirt.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
My shirt's full of waterfalls. That's right. Dr. Stephen Lucy's here with us, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. What do you think about my shirt, Doc?
It's good for today. It's nice and sunny and crisp. I'd be wearing one, too.
See? It's long sleeves. It's warm. And I'm a radio guy, so typically people don't see me that much. So I don't mind wearing what I'm wearing. I'm okay with that, Doc. I can live with it. I can get you one, by the way, if you really like it. All right? Their sleeves wrinkle up very quickly, though. Dr. Stephen Lucy here, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute, exclusive sports medicine providers of the Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Doc, foot sprain, Denard Robinson, what are we looking at here?
Well, you know, these running backs, they are really prone to these problems. First, they're constantly cutting and twisting and suddenly stopping and starting. But even worse is people are always falling on the backs of their legs. And a lot of times when you get these midfoot sprains, they're going down and then somebody flops on the back of their leg. So this is something that our doctors are evaluating, that we should know a little something later on in the week as to how he progresses. But you have to worry about it. You know, we've seen Allen Robinson with a bad one. We've seen Toby Gerhart come back from a foot an ankle sprain. So for a quick cutting guy, it's a concern. We'll just have to play it day by day and see how he progresses.
Yeah, we'll keep a watch on that injury report. It sounds like then maybe not expecting practice today, possibly. We'll see if that holds up or not. At least that would be my speculation for Denard. Maybe he'll get in a limited session. We'll have to find out later on this afternoon. Practice getting ready to kick off right now. Around the league, Doc, in the division, Jadeveon Clowney, on top of the meniscus surgery he had earlier, now has to go back into that knee, and they're doing a microfracture procedure. Explain to us what that is. And it used to be, even though we didn't always understand what that was, I understood it to be like drilling little holes in there, which you can explain it to us, but it used to be basically the end of your career. It's come a long way since then.
It has improved. Basically, what you're doing, if you think of cartilage in the knee and not the meniscus, but the smooth surfaces, is enamel on your refrigerator or your paint on your car, you chip a hole out of that cartilage. If it's full thickness, that means it goes down to bone. So you want it to fill in with something. So by either drilling or by picking, you create, the body forms a scab, so you're non-weight bearing for 6 or 8 weeks on that. That scab matures just like the pink skin when you skin your knee. It's not quite as good a cartilage as your real cartilage, but if it's a small lesion, those are the ones that do well. If it's a bigger one, those still don't do well. And for Jadeveon, this has been just a disastrous season. He had the sports hernia, then he had the scope, and now this. And they will probably keep him out of running, jumping kind of stuff for at least 6 months. And the combination of the meniscus plus this, because the meniscus is sort of the shock absorber, and you have this, you got to worry about how he's going to do ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, this could be something that negatively impacts him for the long term then, depending on how it heals.
For sure. And if it's a small thing, he may bounce back from it. But, boy, it's scary.
We've learned way too much about the transverse processes in your back, with Tony Romo breaking a couple of, fracturing those, and then Cam Newton yesterday rolled his truck, they say, 4 times and did the same thing, broke a couple of those or has fractured those. It's clearly Tony Romo missed the game. He's been able to play with it. It's not necessarily a weight-bearing type situation, but when you're a guy as physical as Cam Newton is and his style of play, he's going to get hit more than Tony Romo because he's going to run the football more. I mean, is this something that, in your mind, is this going to shut him down maybe for the rest of the year? Or is this something that, if he can withstand the pain, he can play with?
Well, I've had one of these myself. I fell through some attic stairs, and I can attest it is extremely painful. And for me, just sucking it up going to work as a doc wasn't fun. And for a football player, I can't imagine. This is one of these things, you know, Tony missed a game, and then there was some talk, we don't know for sure whether he had this injected or not, but it's not the severe back fracture that affects the stability of the spine, but it's where all your muscles in your back attach, and every time you twist, move, turn, it hurts, and it's going to be a pain management issue for him. So you're right. You know, I think, unfortunately against us, I don't think Tony got touched that game. Cam is going to get hit a few more times. So we'll just have to see how long that's going to be. But typically it's 2 or 3 weeks, not just a game like Tony got away with.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
We'll see what happens, because they are, believe it or not, still in the playoff race with their record as it is because of the division. So if they can stay afloat, maybe he can come back and they'll avoid putting him on IR until they are either maybe mathematically eliminated from playoff contention, or it becomes evident he's not going to be able to be effective here down the stretch. Dr. Lucy, appreciate you as always. Good to see you. Glad there's not a lengthy laundry list of injuries for the Jags right now.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we came out of last week very healthy. So
we'll keep an eye on Denard Robinson on the injury report this week. Doc, and we'll see you coming up next week. Only one more home game to go.
Well, I'll be here.
All right. There he goes. Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of the Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Time now for the fan feedback spotlight. Tony, sampling of some of the feedback we got today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships, asking folks which Jaguar they'd like to see take a step forward in their play over the final three games. We expected to get a lot of Blake Bortles, but
sure.
Figured we'd get a little mix of some others as well.
Here's what we got from Brad. Would like to see Gus step his game up. Inexcusable to be 2-12 and in last place again. Hashtag no excuses. From Eric, it's got to be Bortles. Just need to see his better play more than his bad play. More touchdowns. From Hadari, besides Bortles, Mercedes Lewis needs to make an impact so as to justify having an old, high-priced, oft-injured vet around next year. From Cam, Luke Jokel and Jonathan Cyprian both are playing below their expectations. From Brandon, I want Cecil to step up and be veteran wide receiver Blake needs, and I want to see Denard break 100 again against the Titans. From Will, we got just one. From Notorious Dan, Bortles, no matter how much eggnog you drink, it's still Bortles. From Joshua, we got everyone's going to go with Bortles, but I would rather see Luke Jokel step up and show some Pro Bowl potential. From at Irish Jaguar, we got Bortles. It's always Bortles. As he goes, so does the rest of the franchise.
I'm thinking a operator error on that one. From now on, in a situation like that, maybe I'll go with other than Blake, or if you want, or which two players?
Right.
And I get that. Look, it is as the quarterback goes, so goes. But I do think there are certain other guys. I'd like to see Jonathan Cyprian at some point start to live up to the expectation and the hype that we laid on him. I hear Jeff Prosser, the way he described it, hasn't made a play in terms of a sack, an interception, you know, the forced fumbles, the fumble recoveries, the game-changing kind of type plays. And all too often, you know, even some of the basic stuff, he's not in the right position, and allow, you know, what should be a small gain turns into a big gain. So I'd like to see him, and I think most people nailed some of the obvious candidates. It's got to come on the offensive side, more than anything. You know, you want to see Jokel start to give you a glimpse now, as I guess he's in the early stages of his second year, Tony, just
sure.
In terms of games played. Give us a glimpse of looking like a guy who's a top 10, never mind a second overall pick, kind of offensive tackle. We'll see.
No, I think you can certainly say Jokel. Cyprian's probably going to be high on everybody's list. I think that you want to continue to see Marquise Lee take a step forward, because you want to feel really good about what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball going into the offseason. I think is where you're at with this team, because I think there's enough pieces on defense to feel all right about that. We've talked about McCray and Colvin, who are probably going to be your starters next year, and how well they've been playing. You have a guy like Cyprian that I think we're not getting the full idea of what Jonathan Cyprian is, because they don't have anyone playing free safety that's playing it at a high enough level to just let Sip be what Sip's going to be, which is an in-the-box safety. That's what he's going to be, but he's not getting the opportunity to do enough of that. He's not been great at it, but he's not getting the opportunity to do enough of that because of the problems that they're having at free safety. So for me, it's about a couple of guys on offense continuing to take a step forward so you can feel good about the decisions they're making on that side of the ball. You don't want to have to redo things that you've already done when you're in the middle of this rebuild. They're going to have to at some point. You just want to continue to see these guys that are starting to take steps continue to take steps.
Right. You'd like to think that the positions you've addressed high in the draft, your first two draft classes,
right,
don't need upgrading already or
right,
that strong of consideration.
Because you're getting
direction.
Help at the back half of your draft. And it's if the guys that you're drafting in the first couple rounds take those steps forward, now you can feel really good about the direction of this team. But until you see that kind of thing happen with guys like Jokel and Bortles and Cyprian, you're still like, well, do we need to go back and address that? And you want them to give you a reason not to have to think about
go
it.
Go spend that $60 million in cap money.
Yeah.
Go do it. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Mark Long from the Associated Press for coming by. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. Again, 695-1911. If you have plumbing issues, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter. Visit them at metrorooter.com. They're the folks I trust when I've got plumbing issues in my home. For Fat Tony, for Mark Long, for Lauren Brooks and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Joe Coward off today, but T-Wig and Hack have it for you next on XL Primetime. They're coming your way on 1010XL 92.5 FM.